do something constructive and productive here.
Okay, well, how was we in order? We had a forum.
Spotty?
Here.
Clemens?
Here.
Clifford?
Here.
McGuire?
Here.
Rizal?
Here.
Store?
Here.
Cohort?
Present. Okay, need approval of the agenda.
So moved. Second.
Okay, okay. So any discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Need approval of the minutes for May 10th, 2019.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, any discussion?
What's that?
You want a second or?
No, I think you're second. I seconded.
Okay, I was trying to find out, was there any discussion?
Oh.
Okay. So there are none. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Public participation. Nah. Okay, any communication from the board, from the committee? Okay then, need approval for the county and township motor fuel tax claim for May 2019, June 2019, and July 2019.
So moved.
I'll second.
Any discussion?
I have a question.
Yeah.
So have we already gotten the motor fuel tax disbursements from the state? Is that how that works?
So every month,
yeah,
we get a disbursement from the state.
Okay. And so in July, there was a new motor fuel tax,
that's
right?
Correct.
So, I mean, have we gotten the disbursement for July?
No. So it's always a month behind.
Yeah, I figured.
And actually, the first disbursement from the new 19-cent motor fuel tax, because they're going to disperse them in separate checks. So the first disbursement we're going to get from that is going to be in September.
Okay.
Because apparently that tax happens at the wholesale retail.
I see.
And all the wholesalers loaded up, right, knowing that it was coming.
Right.
So okay, there really wasn't much to tax in July.
Okay. Okay.
So they're going to wait till September to make that first disbursement on the new money.
Cool. Yeah, I'm sort of interested to hear more from you about that new tax and sort of its implications for the highway department at some point.
Yeah. I mean, if we can do that in other business, we can do it right now. However you want to, you want me to talk about it right now, I can real quick. It's supposed to be a 68% increase in our motor fuel tax allocations. So there's the old 19 cents, which goes through one formula. There's the new 19 cents that goes through another formula. The new 19 cents is weighed more towards IDOT getting money than it is the locals, but we are going to. So if they would have done everything exactly the same, right, it would have doubled our motor fuel tax allocation, but it's not. It's going to be a 68% increase. But then there's a capital side as well. There's a six-year capital bill.
Okay.
We're supposed to get another 40%
when
that gets dispersed, but they haven't decided if they're going to do it in the first 3 years, the last 3 years, they're going to do it all in 1 year.
Yeah.
We don't really know how that capital money is going to come.
And about what percent of the highway department revenue comes from the state motor fuel tax, or comes from the original 19 cents?
Say that again.
So like, I mean, 68% on top of the additional, state motor fuel tax revenue that we're getting now, but like, what does that represent in terms of a fraction of the highway department budget?
Well, that's all of our construction money that we use on the roads. So our highway fund is what we use to buy trucks and pay personnel. We have a bridge fund that we use to build bridges. And then our motor fuel tax fund is what we use to do all of our other road construction.
Oh,
yeah. So right now we're getting about $2.5 million.
Yes.
So we're looking at getting about $4 million in total once we get that 68% increase. So it's a nice jump.
Yeah.
Very nice. And it'll be very helpful for us to be able to get our roads, you know, into the shape that we want them to be based on our pavement management system that we're going to talk about. But yeah, it's awesome. It really is. And if we get that extra 40% on top of that for 6 years, It'll really help because we can use that money to build bridges, and that's my intent actually in the next few years because we're so far behind on our bridges right now. We're starting to lose ground. So I'd like to use some of that money to build bridges and get us caught up, and then we'll start getting back into the heavy-duty road projects.
Okay. That was kind of... we had this, the pavement condition is different from the road condition.
Right. Yeah. Yep. So, and that's the same as the township. Still get a 68% increase as well once it comes.
So. Oh, I could use it.
Can we cheat and ask Rita what it does for transportation? Can we cheat and ask Rita what it does for transportation if she knows what it does?
We don't know yet. We don't know yet. We haven't received any direction from her about all that. I don't know if the STPU funding is going to increase. I don't know. From the capital bill, we haven't received any direction from her yet.
Okay. Thank you.
Any more communication? Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Okay, the next thing is the county engineer's report.
The next three things are from CCARTS and RPC, so I'll let them go through those items.
Good morning. My name is Kristen. I'm the Program Compliance Oversight Monitor. You may remember me from March. I came and presented the grant contracts that we were applying for. So whenever we send in our grants, they send us a contract that needs to then be executed by the county board, which is why I'm presenting the state and downstate operating funds today. It's the same funding that we applied for and that they're now offering to give us. And this time we are also presenting the fiscal year annual transit report. We usually present this in November or December, but IDOT was very quick this year in getting our contracts, so we're able to present it sooner. Okay, like I said, the funding is the same as I presented in March. The federal amount does not change, but the state amount increases by 10% each year. Our service contract with the Village of Rantoul will increase 1% this year and the following year, so you see an increase there. And then our other revenues we expect will be the fare box, and we don't have the county contribution this year, but we will be pulling from the public transit account, which is where we put our service contract revenue. So in the last year, fiscal year 19, this is the breakdown of our expended funds. We usually expend all of the federal amount in the first and second quarter, and then we rely on the downstate funds for the last two quarters, and then use our service contract as local match. So overall, we expended about 70% of what was allocated to us last year. Are there any questions on any of that? Yes.
You said, could you go back a slide? You expended 70% of the allocated grant amounts. What? Why not all of it, and what happens to the rest?
We cannot expend all of it when we don't have all of the local match to expend all of the grant funds.
Oh.
If we had the capacity to hire more drivers and provide more trips and get more local match, we would be able to expend that down. But as of right now, we don't have that capacity.
Thank you.
Is there no question? This is the annual report part, so I didn't...
So you need to approve number 8, the resolution authorizing downstate operating assistance program?
And the second one.
And the 53-11 grant agreement
for both. Both those, the first two.
Federal and state.
Mm-hmm. Motion to move both.
Second.
Okay, we move the second. Any more courts for the law? Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed?
Now we're on 10, approval of the rural transit service report. Is that where you're at?
Yes.
Okay.
So our operating hours are Monday through Friday, 6 to 6, and there were no change in service hours or fares from fiscal year 18 to fiscal year 19. Our fares differ based on the person who is riding. Under 12 is $1, 20, 16 over is $2, and then anyone between 12 and 60 is $5, but it also depends on location. So if you're traveling in Rantoul to another place in Rantoul, it's $2. But if, say, you were taking the Rantoul connector, Rantoul to Champaign-Urbana, that would be $5 each way. So this is our performance for the fiscal year 19. As you can see, our total trips increased, which is great. Our daily average increased throughout the year as well, with an uptick in the third quarter. Employment and medical trips continue to be a big factor for trip demand. And the percentage of senior trips has also increased to 55%. Our miles and hours did decrease a little bit compared to the trips given, which gave us a bit more efficiency, as you can see, trips per mile and trips per hour, which can partially be accredited to the ITS that we acquired, which is routing software that chooses the best route based on the trips that were requested. So that decreases miles and hours while increasing trips. So here's an overall chart for C-CART since fiscal year 16. The orange is to fiscal year 16, the light blue is 17, purple is 18, and this fiscal year 19 was the green. And as you can see, the ridership has been increasing each year. Here's a breakdown of demand response and the deviated fixed route. Demand response is if somebody calls and requests a ride, then C-CARTs will go and pick them up and take them there. In Rantoul, we have the fixed route, which is a regular bus stop system like MTD, where someone will stand at the bus stop and the bus will come pick them up. There has been an increase in the deviated fixed route ridership, which is great. That increases our efficiency a lot, but our demand response daily average remained exactly the same from fiscal year 18 to fiscal year 19. We did have a higher amount of denials this year. That is partially due to more people knowing about the service and requesting rides, but also because the FTA had a medical card requirement for drivers, and that put a strain on our system a little bit, and it made it harder to recruit drivers. And that meant sometimes when a rider requested a ride that was not available, then that would be entered as a denial.
What's required for the medical card?
DOT physical card. Yeah.
So I guess I can talk a little bit about that. True much. I work with FTA. So we have always reported directly to FTA versus DOT. And so FTA, just in the last couple of years, have started to change the rules to mimic DOT a little bit closer. And so this was the first year that they added the requirement for all of our operators to hold that DOT medical card.
What's required? I mean, do they have to have
there's a physical that's involved.
Yes.
Basically, what they're looking for are any types of underlying medical conditions that could impact someone's ability to operate that vehicle safely. They look for things like sleep apnea, high blood pressure.
Diabetes.
Exactly, yeah. So they're looking for things that are fairly serious, but that could, if they're not treated or if they're not controlled in some way, could impact other passengers on the vehicle if some kind of a medical emergency happened or something like that. So it's made it a little bit more difficult to recruit just because you're putting people through a little bit of a higher physical than they may have had experienced in the past. Ultimately, it's a good thing for us. It's just in between, figuring out how you recruit differently and things like that. So.
How much does it cost for? Oh, sorry.
No, go ahead.
How much does it cost for the drivers to do that physical?
When I just did mine, was $150 in Carl.
Okay. I think our rate's just slightly different because we're requiring all of our operators to do that.
Yeah.
C-CARTs funds that.
Okay.
Yeah, so the employee themselves are going to pay for that.
Right, right. But for like employees that you're hiring, they would need to have done that in advance.
Correct. Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is there any annual training that you all do to recruit? Training to bus driver training.
Class, correct. I guess Class C license, is it?
So for this service, just the regular Class D license is all that's required. But we have a summer review where every other year everyone has gone through. It's making sure that driving skills are up to date. It's anything has changed or things that are new, there's an opportunity to talk about those. So yeah, but they do go through regular training.
Because I have heard that it's a scarcity of drivers. And it's due to the pay. The pay is very low, $12 an hour.
So some of it's the pay. Some of it is unemployment's very low at the moment, and so we're competing for the same workers that other employers are as well.
Sure.
If they can make a dollar or two more somewhere else, then that is more attractive. So there's a couple of factors that are rolled into that, but yeah.
Okay, thank you.
So when looking at the 2018 to 2019 ridership, as I mentioned, increased to 31,385, which was a 16% increase from fiscal year 18. Also, as I mentioned, the demand response average per day remained the same at 56, while deviated fixed route increased by 22 trips a day for the fixed route. For the demand response, that's the only we only know the trip type for demand response. Obviously, for EBA fixed route, we wouldn't know that because they're not calling the dispatchers and everything. So employment remains the top, medical is the second. And their lift use was at 14%. And as I mentioned, passengers over 60, that's about half a ridership for demand response. And we had an increase in total registered riders, and that is at over 3,000, which was an 8% increase from the previous year. Yes.
How large is your fleet, and is any of numbers of that fleet electrical cars?
There are 12 in our fleet, and 11 buses, one minivan. And it, actually, if you go down to the next slide, I have a problem. But one more, please, sorry. Okay. Yeah, we have 12 buses, and we're expecting two medium duties this fall, hopefully. and we're in the process of disposing of one minivan that we don't use right now. That will be passed on to an agency in Charleston.
You don't have any hybrids?
Not right now. So one thing to note, we have been upping our marketing in Rantoul for C cards. We developed a marketing plan in January for the year. We noticed that our marketing budget had been underutilized and wanted to use more of that. So we have been placing yard signs and brochures in Rantoul at churches, at multicultural centers, you can see at the library. The signs have English on one side and Spanish on the other, so that serves all of the residents. And then we've also been going to community events. So MTD went to the Disability Expo in March, and then I went to the farmers market in July to meet with people one-on-one. Just to reiterate, we do have a service contract with the Village of Rantoul that is increasing by 1% each year, and that is our guaranteed local match for the grants, which draws down more grant funds for us to use for the service. And finally, just some future ideal implementations that we're looking at. If we had the funding, we would extend service hours, especially to accommodate the third shift for people who work in Rantoul, especially in the industrial complex. Doing more deviated fixed routes in other areas of rural Champaign County, because that is working well in Rantoul, and it's a more consistent service for people in the area. And doing punch cards or digital ride passes, like MTD has a system where you can purchase fares online on your phone and show that to the bus driver, which is convenient for people who have smartphones. And doing a shorter ride request. Right now, if someone calls in under 48 hours, we do try to accommodate that, but if not, then we cannot. But if we're trying to do it so it would be a 24-hour window instead of 40. Any questions?
Yes. Do drivers go through any disability training or sensitivity training for disabled passengers to come on?
They do. We have training modules built into our training program that, it's learning about the equipment that you'd be using to help assist that individual. So helping them on and off the lift, securing that chair properly. But they also do training, sensitivity training, that's not the exact term, but how you interact with individuals with disabilities and just kind of how various disabilities could present themselves. And it may not be completely obvious that individual may have a disability. So they do go through training in that nature as well.
Okay, is there anything else you need from us?
Nope, that's all.
Do you need approval of this formally? So you need to vote on it.
We need a motion.
Move to approve.
Second.
Okay.
Thank you.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed?
All right.
Stand over there. We're going to watch another one.
Well, I just didn't want to have my back to her. That's all.
All right, so next item, going into the highway department stuff. Resolution authorizing the county engineer to enter into an agreement and appropriating $309,000 from the county motor fuel tax funds for a 5-year pavement management study. Section number is shown there. Applied Research Associates, who we've been doing our pavement management study with since its inception, has given me another proposal to continue that service for 5 years. The proposal is basically to do what they've done at the exact same cost that they've charged us in the last contract. As you may remember, when the county board passed the new strategic plan, part of goal 2 in the strategic plan that was approved says fund county road projects per the 5-year pavement management system plan. So it's awesome that we have our bullet point within the strategic plan and goal number 2 there. So obviously we need a pavement management system in order to fund those projects that are in it. And this has been a great help for us in all kinds of different ways, from getting funds to tracking our roads and everything. And Bill Vavrick, who is the vice president and principal engineer at ARA, is just here to give you a 5-minute overview of what the pavement management system does and the services that they provide before we vote on that resolution. So Bill, you want to fire away?
Yes, thank you, Jeff. Appreciate it. Thank you to all the board members who are here. This is exciting for me. As Jeff mentioned, we've been doing pavement management here in Champaign County since the system's inception. I do this all over the country, literally, in almost every state in the nation. It's fun to do it in the community I live in, right? I mean, I live here in Champaign County. I'm a trustee in the Village of Savoy. I know what it's like to be where you are, and it's kind of fun to do what I'm doing here, to work locally and to do the things that I enjoy doing. So, as Jeff mentioned, we originally implemented the system in 2006, and I'm going to talk about what pavement management is. We had 2 follow-on contracts. Each was a 5-year contract, and those are about to, the last one of those is about to expire, so we're here requesting another 5-year contract. As Jeff mentioned, we are not asking for an increase in our price. We're here local. We're invested in the community. We think it's important to serve our local community. And quite frankly, the prices that Champaign County gets are lower than anywhere else because our mobilization is 0. We're here. We work in the community. We live in the community. It's wonderful. All the folks who work on this project are here. They're all residents of Champaign County. Jeff provided this quote early on when we first implemented the system, and this has been widely recognized and actually talked about across the nation as more and more local governments look to implement pavement management. But the goal is to provide an objective tool to inventory, assess, and manage the road network, right? Those are kind of the three big pieces. What do we have? What's its condition? And how do we manage it going forward? So we're going to try and predict the future condition to know when is the right time to work on the roads. So a little bit about what a pavement management system is. You'll see PMS as the acronym potentially in the slides. So it's an inventory. What do we own? It is a condition assessment. So we use very objective measures of the cracks in the road to understand the condition of the road. So this isn't, a lot of folks historically have done pavement management by driving around, right? A county engineer, a village manager, somebody will get in a car and drive around and say, yep, we got to work on that road, or no, we got to work on that road. Why? Well, because that one looks kind of bad. These are objective measures, right? Established by international standards, and we follow those. And then we put all that data into software that does, that models the future condition. We predict what the condition, based on today's condition, we predict the future condition. And then we have limited dollars. So we know that there are ways that we can fix roads and different timings where we can do those things. So what is the best way to take our limited funds and apply them to the road network to get the best bang for the buck? And we do a benefit cost analysis of what to do when. That's basically what pavement management is all about. The vehicles used to collect the data, these are the two vehicles that are used. Beautiful picture of mountains in the background that was taken in Southern California, but that vehicle sits on West Champaign Avenue in a garage right now. So just because it's got a pretty picture, you know, of mountains in the background, it is still local. This one here on the left, this is a $1 million van. It's $1 million because the sensors that are in this part on the back and this camera system up top cost roughly $500,000 just in and of themselves. And then there's other sensors, lasers, accelerometers in the bumper itself. This thing does 3D scanning lasers of the entire roadway surface, and it lets us truly understand what's going on with every crack in the road. And we can see it develop, we can see it progress, we can categorize it and know what's happening. This, the big truck, it measures the deflection of the road. How much does the road bend when a heavy truck drives on it? That matters because if a road is bending a lot, then it's not structurally very sound. And we're going to treat it differently than a road that doesn't bend much. If a road doesn't bend much, it's very structurally sound, then we can do some surface maintenance and not have to worry about building up the structure. Once if it's structurally weak, we need to build that structure up. And then things will come along like we're going to build a wind farm, or we're going to build a, you know, we're going to have pipelines go through or power lines go through. Yeah. So all this stuff goes into what is the current condition of the roads. And then we can even do a number of what if analysis, which we have done for the wind farms and we've done for the high tension power lines that have come through. They put extra loads on the roads, but we know what they are before and then we measure it afterwards. And because we have all this data and we have these models, we can tell them their piece of the damage, and then we can ask for that to be returned to the county.
And then they write you a nice check for $1 million. A handwritten check. You ever got a handwritten check for $1 million? I didn't know what to do with it. I was like, what am I supposed to do with this?
Mine wasn't quite $1 million. There was enough zeros behind it. I'm
wondering. Don't you have a nap that you took?
Is that damage from the windmills like coming in with their stuff, or is it from the windmills like vibrating in the ground or something?
When they build them. Yeah, the roads that are, I think, what is it, 400 truckloads of concrete to put the foundation for one of the towers.
Okay.
How many truckloads?
That was 400.
400 for a foundation?
Yeah.
And the foundation's as big as this room.
Oh, no, yeah, they're 60 feet deep and 100 feet round. Yeah. They're massive. You don't realize how big it's a massive hole they fill with concrete. But they also got to generally build a road to get out there. So they have to bring a whole bunch of gravel trucks to build a road to get out to where they're going to dig a hole and then fill the hole with concrete effectively and then put the wind tower on top of it. Most of those roads are not built to handle that intense amount of load all at one time. So that's what this system does. So we do look at the cracks in the road. We use what's called a pavement condition index. That's a road. It basically lets us put everything on a scale, right? A scale of 1 to 100, and there's different types of cracks. They do different things. It lets us normalize it and put it into a number we can all understand, and we can make decisions on. When we look at that pavement condition index over time, it tends to follow a pattern that looks something like this. right? And that means the roads start at a condition of 100, they're in great shape, and over time they fall off and they get a little bit worse. And there are different things we can do at different points in time. We can do preventive maintenance when the cracks are just starting to show up. When they get a little bit worse, we can do things like surface treatments, like we got a couple of those going on right now in the county. And if it gets to a certain point, it's not worth doing those lighter treatments. Then you got to go in and do an overlay or something that's a more significant rehab. So we can look at all these things for each road in the county and understand what's needed. Each one of those has a cost, right? Whether it's crack sealing on a per square yard basis, crack sealing, or doing a chip seal or a rehab or a reconstruction. So we know we can figure out the best timing. We know what the cost is. And at the end of the day, the objective is to look at cost, timing, and benefit and pick the right treatment on the right road at the right time. That's how we optimize the dollars that are available. And we can do a whole lot better in a payment management system than we can if Jeff were to go get in his truck and drive around all the roads and just randomly pick, yeah, let's do this one next year. Which is actually for, I mean, many, many decades how that process happened. So the goal is right treatment on the right road at the right time, right? So things that are in a condition that can be a surface treatment is appropriate, we're going to do a surface treatment. If we need to do a rehab, we're going to do a rehab. If we've got to add structural condition because it's bending too much, that's what the system is going to recommend to Jeff to do. So it allows us to go through and put all those pieces together and then to optimize that condition with limited resources. We don't have an unlimited pot of money, right? So we have the dollars we have. When we started the system in place, the average condition on a scale of 1 to 100 was a 70 in the county. As we sit here in 2017, we've gotten up to 81.5. And not only has the average condition increased through use of the payment management system, it's allowed us to leverage and get other funds, but we've also, Jeff's done a great job of trying to break it down and build kind of corridors of where work is done. So you're not constantly pounding on the same residents in the same part of the county every year. It's like, why are you doing this piece this year and this piece next year? Jeff's done a great job of saying, hey, let's kind of build some corridors and let's, you know, if we're going to bug the folks in the, say, the northeast part of the county, let's do it all one year. Let's get all the complaining out of the way and try and, you know, and then we'll move to another part of the county, which when you have a management system, you can kind of look to see, oh, I could use this to buy me a couple years and kind of move some dials around and make that happen. The network condition has steadily improved, which is awesome. Right now, we're in the middle of looking at a number of projects that are happening. You know, so we've got projects in 2018 and 2019 that are out there. But the awesome thing that happens by having a payment management system, Jeff has the ability to go and leverage other funds. He can go to IDOT. He can go to the feds when grant programs come up. It's not that they're, you know, I don't want to call them shovel-ready projects like the language we used at the Recovery Act. But it's somewhat, you know, when a government comes up with a program and says, do you have something that meets this condition, you know, for safety, for, you know, mobility, for, you know, some sort of development, Jeff can just go into the database and say, yeah, I do, and submit for that project. And I know he's been able to do that and leverage some other funding sources that are available to make those things happen. So that's kind of the high level what payment management's all about. And we've appreciated the ability to do this for the county and would appreciate your support to continue.
And the great thing is, anytime I got a need that's outside of the payment management system, that's kind of unique, I call them and they just do it. And there's no extra bill, there's no whining or crying, they're always happy to do it. Huh?
You got an extra project, I got one for you.
Well, not on township roads. Talking about
that is one of the benefits Jeff gets because we are local. Because we're not going to let our local county engineer down. Yeah.
When we got that $1 million from Merriam, and I just called him and I said, we got to figure it, because they had their own pavement management program company, and I said, no, we have one. We're going to use what we have. We're not going to use some monkey house thing that you guys came up with. And so we did a before and after run of it and showed that based on the damage that they did, we were going to have to seal coat the road. Now we're going to have to do a 2-inch overlay. Here's the difference in cost between those two, you know, fixes. So you guys need to pay that difference. And They didn't even have an argument at all.
Neither
it was awesome.
Me. It was great.
So
it's kind of nice to be able to just get a handwritten check for $1 million yep. show up on your desk.
Yep.
Yes, sir.
I know that the feds are going with a kind of a GIS-based system, and I'm sorry I can't remember the acronym or mm-hmm. what it's called, but for managing the federal, especially interstates and highways. Is your data kind of GIS-based?
It is. It is all GIS. In fact, the one figure that was in here, that is a map. Now, it is an older map. I didn't pull the current one. But this is these were conditions a couple of years ago. I just pulled out of one of our annual reports. But all this data is in GIS, and Jeff's got access to all the data. And if the county so desired, you could put that data wherever you want in GIS. It's all tied into the county's GIS system. We use the same base map. I'm not saying you should publish that information. You may not. I don't think you legally have to. That would be entirely up to you. But it is on the same system.
But having it as a GIS-based system allows for, you know...
And I have access to all their videos because they video all 400 lane miles. So if somebody calls in, I can go and punch up the pavement management and literally drive the road at my computer. And I don't have to spend the 2 hours to drive up to Ludlow and drive back because I can sit on my computer and look at it.
No. I mean, this is
maybe I do.
You've talked about this before, and that's really, that's terrific. And I think what you're doing,
and that's all tied to a GIS map, so I can punch on one of those spots on the GIS map, and it'll bring up the video of that. Boom, right there. I don't have to like start at one end and drive it, and you can go backwards, forwards. You can look front, you can look back, you can look left, you can look right. It's pretty cool. It's pretty cool.
Did you guys develop all of that hardware yourself, build it, or
we actually that's something we purchased. There's a couple companies out there that put all those. They do the integration of all those different systems. There are probably, in fact, somebody asked me yesterday, how many vans like that are there in the U.S.? And I think there's about 50 total. Mm-hmm. There's probably 5 to 7 of them that do work for local governments, mm-hmm. and the rest of them do work for the state DOTs. So IDOT right now has 3 vans that are, so they do District 5 every other year. So all the IDOT, in fact, this is not a District 5 year, next year's a District 5 year. So there will be a van that looks a lot like that doing all the state routes in the county because IDOT's required to not only put all this together, but they've got to put it into GIS and they have to send it to Washington.
Sure.
That's a mandated requirement. It was in the FAST Act, the last highway bill. We did see language of the next highway bill from the Senate this week. Someday I actually think that requirement is eventually going to flow down to the locals. It is not in the next highway, at least in the current first Senate version of the next highway bill, right? It's going to come to the MPOs next, and then after the MPOs, it's going to go down to local agencies. That day is going to come. I think we probably got 5 more years before that gets pushed down because the states just had the dial turned up on them this last year.
Now, how much of this is automated by image processing? How much of it is actually using somebody sitting in front of
that? That changes every year. So when we started in 2006, it was 100% human technicians sitting in front of a computer screen. It was all computers. When we went to the 3D scanning lasers, which really that transition happened for us about 4 years ago, mm-hmm. we started to be able to automate the process, but it is still QC'd, quality control checked, by a human.
Sure.
And even it's kind of funny because any of us, you can go out and look at a road and say, yes, that road, that is a crack, and it goes across the road. Transverse, so therefore I'm going to call it a transverse crack, right? You would think a computer could do that as well. It's really, really hard. In fact, the big statewide companies, there's 3 of them that do the big work for the state DOTs, and they each have, roughly 15 vans each. They all still do human QC as well. Only one of them does that human QC in the U.S. The others offshore that. Two of them offshore, and the other use student labor at the University of Wisconsin. They hire students to sit in a big warehouse, basically, and look at cracks on the roof. But we use Champaign County residents. Our technicians used to actually, the way this used to be done, we would put people on the side of the road and walk with a clipboard and look at the cracks in the road. So luckily, our technicians are no longer out on the road. They're not in harm's way. They're safe sitting in front of a computer screen. So that part is awesome.
Jeff, you had indicated that you renew their contract every year and a half?
5 years.
Every 5 years.
This will be our third, right?
This would be our third five-year cycle. Yeah.
And then within that contract, you'll provide.
There's an annual service. Yes, an annual service that annual happens service. Within the 5 years.
So every other year, they actually physically drive the roads, and then on the off years, they just update all the data based on the models that they're using.
Yeah. So the in an off year, this is a data collection year, so we have new data. In the off years, what we'll do is we'll find out, we had a plan for what Jeff was going to do. Sometimes life happens. You don't do exactly what's in the plan. Something comes up. So we'll go to Jeff and say, okay, what did you actually do? And let's plug that in, and then let's rerun the models, and there might be some new priority. It might have been that, you know, we had two potential things that could happen 4 years from now. It's either this one over here or this one over here. And last year's plan, we were doing this one. Well, there's some new reason that we better do this one first because something's happening in the community or there's a reason to move things around. So even on the off years where we're not collecting data, we're still updating the five-year plan and having that plan available based on, you know, and that, all that feedback that Jeff uses really comes from you guys on the committee and on the board to find out what the priorities are for moving forward.
And depending on, like I applied for highway safety improvement dollars on the road between Sydney and Illinois 130. Mm-hmm. So if we get that $2 million, obviously that becomes a priority because we have a window where we need to spend that in. So sometimes that'll jump projects and move them around based on outside funding sources that we apply for and are successful in receiving. So it kind of moves around. There's a plan, but you know, plans were made to be not followed sometimes.
I'd like to move this forward and move the management study section.
All right. You making a motion?
Yes.
I'll go sit down. I understand.
I'll thank you.
This is the only reason that I enjoy coming
right
here.
Now, no.
Other people have to work.
It's getting hands in 2 minutes.
Champaign still has foot on ground.
Okay.
You are just about to start putting a pavement management system.
You started the meeting late. It's 5 minutes to close, and we have half the work done.
And since I'm really
interested,
I kind of
need
to push the boy to do something. I kind of feel bad sitting on the board.
It's, true
it's still the public works director driving around.
Right.
Everybody that's retired doesn't have to stay here and have coffee all day.
I have a job. I have actually
a second.
So
you got a second.
It doesn't mean you can't ask okay. more questions. We just have to move that.
Any more discussion? Yeah. No.
Thank you for the presentation.
I'll be here afterward if you have more questions.
Excellent. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Okay. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed?
All right, so next item, item 12, is a resolution appropriating motor fuel tax funds for the improvement of County Highway 9 and establishing a Class 2 designated truck route on County Highway 9. We applied for TARP money, which is special money you get for building 80,000-pound routes for the County Road 9 project, which, as you all know, has been bid and is under construction. But we just received word that we actually got the money, so we can still use it even though we're already building the project. But the money actually needs to be deposited into our county motor fuel tax funds when we receive the money from the state and then used on the County Road 9 project. And in order for us to do that, we also have to pass a resolution which establishes a truck route on County Road 9 so that all the money will flow to us. So that's what this resolution does. It takes the $462,600 is the exact amount we're getting from the state. puts it in the MFT fund and appropriates it for the project and establishes the truck route.
So moved.
Second. Okay, discussion. Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed?
Okay, the next item is a resolution appropriating motor fuel tax funds for Kuats. Rita's group, who was just here, the bill this year for Kuats is $31,948.22. You know, they are MPO and do a lot of great work for the cities, the county, the MTD, the university, and this is our proportionate share of this year's Kuats fees. And that comes out of motor fuel tax funds and is... by state statute, we can do that. So I would ask for you to approve that resolution so we can pay them for their work.
So moved. I'll second that.
Okay, discussion.
Is that amount going to go up, their share going to go up with the increased motor fuel tax revenues as well?
So they get planning money, which comes from a different pot.
Okay.
And then we have to match it.
I see.
I think it's an 80-20.
Sure.
So our share... and the city share, you know, they have to come up with the 20% match. So if they get more money, then yeah, we end up having to pay more money. But we don't know yet. Like Rita said, she's not sure what's going to happen with her funding right now.
Okay, any more discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed?
Item 14, petition request and resolution approving appropriation funds from the County Bridge Fund for Kerr Township. I will tell you that this project is basically already done because he had a concrete box, literally the middle of it fell through. And he called and said, we got to get this fixed. We found a box at a local contractor site, which is unusual. That was the exact right dimensions, and I'm not sure if it's done yet, but it's definitely in the process of being done. So these are the, it was a $36,500 in total, and we would pay for half of that cost to replace that 5x10 box culvert in Kerr Township there. It's just north of Benfield. You see on the map there on page 49.
So moved.
Second.
Discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed?
And similar to, St. Joe. So, I don't know how many of you drive Windsor Road. I take it all the time because I go over to Danville a lot because we got some lake area over there that we like to go to. But if you go out Windsor Road and just keep going right before it turns and makes the bend and then ends up hitting Homer Lake Road, there's a bridge right there. Somebody hit it, hit the guardrail, tore the guardrail off the bridge. So we went to do an inspection to see what it was going to cost, and we're going to get the insurance company to pay for the guardrail. Well, come to find out that the outside beam of that bridge is failing. So we can't attach a guardrail to the outside beam because the outside beam is pretty well shot. For whatever reason, that's the only beam that's failing on the bridge. The other six beams look like they were just put in yesterday. And I asked Rod, that St. Joe Township guy, I'm like, do you salt that road? Because it sure appears like there's a lot of salt. He said they've never salted it. So I don't know what happened to this beam, but I do know we can't put a new guardrail on it, so we're going to have to replace the beam and then put a new guardrail system on the new beam. It's a very high trafficked road. It's probably got more traffic than a lot of my county highways. So we need to get it done quickly. I don't have the time to go and get bids and bring it back to the board and do all that stuff. So what I'm asking here is that we appropriate $75,000 and we kind of break the rules a little bit by allowing me to take quotes. I'll get quotes from as many local bridge contractors as I can and accept the lowest quote so that we can get this thing fixed before winter comes.
So moved.
Second. Is this the one that we had that saw that communication about?
No, this is a different one. We'll talk about that in, I guess, other business.
Okay.
But no, this is a different one.
Okay.
Okay. Any more discussion?
Jeff, you indicated that you needed this committee's approval for $75,000. to move forward on that. What is the limit on getting approval other than you doing it yourself?
Usually, quotes, it's $30,000. Anything below $30,000, but I'm asking to go above that limit because of the emergency kind of status of doing this project. Otherwise, we'd have to take bids, bring it back to the board, have the board approve it, and then we're probably looking at October or November before we even get out there and start doing anything. And this, and then the beam has to be made, so we may not be able to get it done before the snow flies if we follow the standard procedure, is what I'm saying. Because this accident just happened within the last couple, 3 weeks.
Sounds almost like, I mean, that beam was rotting before the person hit it.
Yes.
And that, so maybe kind of a fortuitous, hate to say that it was a fortuitous accident.
But right.
It sounds like we're lucky to.
Luckily, the guardrail did its job, and the guy ended up staying on the road.
Good.
But flipped around the other direction somehow when he landed. Mm. He didn't go down in the stream, thank God. So it did its work, but it won't do its work anymore because it's not attached to anything. So, yep.
Any more discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed?
No. Full board. We'll go on the agenda then. Or then.
It won't go on the consent.
It won't go on consent.
Okay.
All right. Next item is a petition request and resolution approving appropriation of funds for a project in Compromise Township. They've already done this work. This was similar to the Kerr Township one, only they got an old box, and right behind the box, there literally was a hole that you could put a VW in, where the oil and chip broke, and you could look down in there and look around. And then once they got to digging on that side, there was another problem on the other side that was similar that they wanted to fix. So they went ahead and fixed it, and now they're asking us to pay 50% of that cost. And I told them that, you know, typically we do. So this is the petition and resolution appropriating and approving those funds to pay for our proportionate share of that fix on this bridge.
So moved.
Excuse me.
Moved and second. Open for discussion. Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Other business.
So I think you guys wanted to talk about the bridge west of Homer. That's kind of been talked about in an email to all the county board members by a Mr. Mullins, who I talked to on the phone Wednesday. And I think I answered all of his questions, but I'll just pass around a map so everybody kind of knows where we're talking about, where the bridge is. And then here's some quick pictures to take a look at of the condition of the bridge. So this bridge is scheduled to, we bid it, Stark Excavating got the contract. It's scheduled to begin construction on Monday. Obviously you see it's just west of Homer on the Sydney Homer slab, which is a major thoroughfare, you know, for lots of things, grain, aggregates, everything that goes east-west in that part of the county. The pictures that I've shown you there, this bridge was on our radar as far as needing to have it replaced. And our inspectors went out on February 19th of this year and did an inspection of the bridge, and the 11 by 17 are some pictures that they brought back with them. You'll see the bottom side of those deck beams are in very bad shape. And when they do a bridge inspection, they rate the elements kind of like we do with our pavement condition index. Instead of 1 to 100, it's 1 to 10. And the deck element of this bridge was a 5 on the last inspection, which was 2 years ago, and when they went out and did it this time, it dropped down to a 3. And once you get a deck element of a 3, IDOT comes and says, legal loads only on the bridge until we can do an inspection, and once we do an inspection, we'll tell you what it needs to be posted at. So I talked to IDOT and said, I don't want to post it. I want to get it rebuilt, and we're going to do it as quickly as we possibly can. So we got the plans together, got it bid. Obviously, it's not good timing. I understand that. But our options were to post it or to rebuild it. And the rebuilding of it took us this much time to get to that point. The posting would be, you know, until we rebuilt it. So I know that the farmers won't be able to cross it if we posted it. They wouldn't be able to cross it anyway. They would if they... But they'd be breaking the law, and if it fell in, blah, blah, blah.
What would they post that bridge at?
I bet it'd be down around 15 or 20 ton. Something like that, because there are multiple deck beams on this bridge that are in bad shape. And there was talked, maybe you could do it half at a time. On these types of bridges, all those deck beams are tied together in the middle. And once you take that tie out and those beams start acting independently, they don't work anymore. So we really can't take like half of the bridge off and let people drive on half of it, because you might be able to drive a bicycle across there and feel safe, but I wouldn't put trucks on a bridge that doesn't have all those deck beams tied together. I wouldn't even put cars on it. So it's an unfortunate situation. It's unfortunate timing. We're going to inconvenience people. I understand that. That's the world that we live in. And I don't have a better way of doing this than what we're doing by closing down. It's a 60 working days, so that's 3 months. Typically there's 20 days of working time in a given month. And I've talked to Stark and told him we want to do this as quickly as possible because we are inconveniencing people. So we close it August 5th. Hopefully it's open again by November 1st. I can't guarantee that, but that's what we're shooting for.
Like I brought up to you earlier, my biggest concern is the fire district out there, because Sydney has no daytime firemen.
And the fire protection captain or whatever from Homer, I said, when he asked me that question, I said, well, why don't they do some reciprocal with St. Joe? I mean, St. Joe is right there too, and obviously they've got a fire department. Can't St. Joe covers Sydney while the bridge is out?
Yeah.
I don't know if they got that to happen or not, but he said, oh, I hadn't even thought about that. And I was like, well, that's what I would do if I was the fire chief, is try to get somebody who can get there.
Like I said, I didn't know if there was, and we talked about that earlier, a chance of some kind of crossing for the emergency services or something. But like you said, that's opening up liability when a bunch of kids go out there and try to cross it.
Right. Because then you're saying you can go, but you can't, and how do you control that? And And honestly, this is, so you were talking about Chris's project out on 150 and trying to make some, you know, there was a project on 150 a few years ago, and Chris Dennitz went out there and put in a little box for a runaround. This is a 30-foot bridge. I can't go just put a little tube in the ditch and run around on it. You know what I mean?
Because the second you do that, we're gonna have a 5-inch flood.
Exactly. And then all the work they did on the bridge will get flooded out, and then that'll put us behind times. And there's not a real good way to do this.
So people have to go sort of south and then around like that.
So it's like So they can take 2600, go south 3/4 mile, go across 1000 north, then they're back on a county road. Now, granted, I've driven 2600 and 1000. Yeah. They're narrow township roads, probably 16 foot wide.
Yeah.
I've talked to the highway commissioner. There actually was no stop sign at the T at 1000 north or 1025 north, and I've asked them to put stop signs in there just to make sure that people who are driving that area who are unfamiliar with it don't run into one another. My suspicion is people will go up to Homer Lake Road.
Okay.
Unless they're going to Frito-Lay, and then I don't, you know, they may come south and then come up our Broadlands Road, which is just newly built. That's what I would hope they would do.
The crop's awful late this year. You may make it.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
We may get lucky.
Just make it.
You
may make it if they can get going.
Yeah. So, We've had the portable changeable message boards out there for a week, letting everybody know that it was going to be closed. We sent out a press release 10 days ago. I think everybody is well aware. I guess it's all over Facebook and Sydney and Homer.
Oh, really?
Because I don't do Facebook, but that's what I've been told. So I think everybody's well aware it's going to happen. And
let's hope for no big snags, snafus, or delays.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
Never happens, but...
I pray for that every day, let me tell you, on all my projects.
Do you need a motion on this?
I do not. I just, there was an email that went out to all you, and Jim had asked me to make sure that I talked about it here at the Highway Committee, and so...
Thanks.
Yes, sir. So that's why I wanted to bring it up. So that's all I have, Madam Chair.
Okay. There's no chair's report. There's an agenda for consent of the eight, nine, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, and 16.
Right.
Okay, is there anything else that needs to be discussed? Except for Jim getting out of here, getting to work.
No, I'm fine. I'm fine. Just,
do you need me to come to the board meeting for that one item?
I don't think so. I mean, if you're going to have quotes. And...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, I've got something I want to say. I found your ducks. They came in my yard the other day, about 15 of them.
We were breeding them here and they came and followed you?
Same for Thanksgiving.
Okay, call it adjourned.
Thank you.
I need air.
Huh?
I need air.